Yo, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by Ada County Sheriff Gary Rainey, who, I don't know if you want to reveal this, but you do put this on Facebook. You've been traveling quite a bit, having a good time, haven't you?
Well, not
a couple weeks ago.
Not a lot,
maybe.
But yeah. My wife and I went over to Portland and the Oregon coast, had just a wonderful trip.
Yeah, so for those of us that like live through people like you that actually do something, what was that like? It was good?
Oh, it was a great time. We just went over to downtown Portland and just walked around the city. And I've never really walked the entire downtown before, but it really is a fun place. And then we went over to Cannon Beach for a short weekend and just had a great time.
So you can do it all in a weekend?
Yeah, we left Thursday morning, got back Sunday night.
Okay, well, if I ever do anything, I'm going to take that into consideration.
It's a great trip.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was Portland as far as, I mean, here you are. Do you ever take any time off from, you know, looking at things as a law enforcement officer?
Oh, maybe less so.
Because you're going to see things there that you won't hear.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see with the city, you know, and Portland, of course, being much more liberal and having...
Those are your words, not mine.
Oh, I don't think there's much dispute about that. But,
right.
You know, having the homeless services and the way that they're dealing with the homeless and just some of the crime problems. And on the way down here, I was listening to you talk about graffiti.
Yes.
And, you know, Portland's gone through sort of stages, at least from a casual observer standpoint, of how they take care of their city and how it looks. And, yeah, the whole waterfront area was very clean. And there was a lot of homeless down there, but they weren't harassing anybody. Very little graffiti, not much trash on the streets. So, well, at least from my perspective as a tourist, they were doing a good job.
You bring up a good point because I don't think a lot of people have ever experienced this, but there are militant homeless people that seek to aggravate, that seek to start a confrontation with people. It's a whole industry, really.
Well, what was prevalent there as well amongst those homeless was the mentally ill, which is certainly live and well there, and you could see some of the mental illness as those individuals would walk down the street talking to themselves or maybe yelling to themselves, occasionally yelling to others, and they were dealing with it fairly well when you could see that people were walking by and becoming afraid of them. Then they had police or security there fairly often to sort of deal with them. And, you know, that's that often that paranoid schizophrenia that tends to be a problem from the law enforcement standpoint.
You bring up a good point, and we never really get to that. So let's start with that here at 580 KIDO. Sheriff Rainey, how big of an issue is it for you at your level? And then we'll go nationally, dealing with the mentally ill, considering... You know, we used to have a lot of programs for them, and then President Reagan decommissioned all that. So you have to deal with the mentally ill. How does law enforcement handle that? Is law enforcement set up for that?
No, sadly, we're not. But the Ada County Jail, I still maintain, is the largest mental illness facility in Ada County. We have about 10% of the population that's chronically mentally ill. That's not episodically. That's chronically mentally ill. And so what's frustrating to us is we see so many of those that on a plan that was in the community where they might have stayed on their medication, had some monitoring, then they would have never landed in the Ada County Jail. They never would have ever committed that crime or victimized that person. But, you know, so often psychotropic medication has side effects that bother them, and so they get to feeling well. You know, hey, I'm on a good track, but I don't like these side effects, so I stop taking my medication, I decompensate. And then it's just sort of a downward spiral from there. So, you know, we need to do something about it, and the jail is not the answer.
Well, and the way we look at mental illness has evolved over the years as well, from one flew over the cuckoo's nest to today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was like many things, you know, we sort of have this idea or had this idea in our mind that was almost voluntary, you know, that those actions were something that they chose to do, when in fact that's not the case at all. And we're a lot smarter about mental illness now and about delinquency behaviors, and still not smart enough. We don't have the answer, but we're smarter than we used to be.
You know, when I have the commissioners on, they always commend you for your running of the jail. What's going on in the jail? And, you know, people say, well, is the jail really that exciting? Well, it isn't until you need it.
The jail's pretty complex business. You know, people, I think of... Well, we take inmates or we take criminals who have committed a crime, and you throw them in jail, you put them behind bars, you feed them, and you give them some basics and then let them out at some point in time. It's really become a complex business. Currently about 950 people in the Ada County Jail, the full range from that criminal person who is a risk to society and needs to stay in jail down to the 18, 19-year-old kid who made a mistake and can't afford to bond out. So what I'm proud of in the way that the jail staff is, that we have amongst the lowest level of use of force in the nation. And that's important for our staff. It's important for the inmates, and it's about behavior management. Everything we do is about behavior management in the jail, creating clear expectations, holding them accountable to those expectations, making sure that there's sanctions, and if you play by the rules, you know, you're going to earn some privileges. And if you don't play by the rules, you're not going to get those privileges. And in fact, you may get sanctions. That's good for the community because it's, you know, it costs a lot less money to do it that way. It's good for the jail because it makes a safer place for the staff to work. It makes a safer place for the inmates. We have jail administrators from all over the country that come tour our jail and try to copy what we do. And, you know, they always ask for the policy manual and the training and all that. We have good policy. We have good training, but it's about hiring good people.
Well, what's it like? What's it take to work in the jail? Because that's a tough gig.
Yeah, 21 years old. We still accept applications with a high school diploma or GED, and you have to have a good background. You know, the things that most people get washed out for is drug use within a period of time. So we have standards about marijuana, standards about hard drugs. And frankly, the sad part is a lot of people get washed out for lying. And it's not so much what they did. You know, we all made mistakes when we were young. But don't lie to us about it. We want you to show integrity. We want you to show honesty. So we still lose a lot of applicants just because they maybe don't have that level of forthrightness that we want. But we really, especially, of course, if you think about it, seek female applicants. Again, over 21 years of age, and we have a lot of females who work in the jail who have worked there for many, many years. But I think there's an intimidation factor for everybody about it. You see what's on TV, you see what's on the movies, you think, oh my gosh, there's guys with their arms hanging out of the bars. Not at all what it's like. We love giving tours of the jail because people come down and we always say, you know, when we're done, what did you think it was going to be like before? What did you think it was going to be like now? They always say, I didn't realize how big it was. I didn't realize how orderly and sort of quiet it was. They expected there to be cups rattling or something like that. We're very proud of the way that it's operated.
Too many episodes of Prison Break, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
At 580KIDO, you know, you bring up a good point, though. Is it difficult finding qualified applicants? Because you talk about morality. And in society today, this is, I guess, a grander question. The morality that we have today because, you know, the NFL is taking a look at their marijuana policy. You have states legalizing marijuana. You have people experimenting with drugs more and more. People look at it differently. So when you are looking at someone who's going to obey the rules and be a role model for the rules, is that more of a challenge today?
It is. And a lot of it is, just as you say, that the rules are changing. And so I have something I tell people. I say, you know, if you were to go down to Jackpot, and gamble at the casino down there and come back and apply to be a deputy, should I hold that against you? And I think most people would say the answer is no. Say, well, gambling is legal in Jackpot, Nevada. It's not legal in Boise. So now what if you went to Nevada and you hired a prostitute?
Right.
Now what if you go to Washington and smoke marijuana? Now what if you go overseas and it just trickles down from
all
there?
All the same weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it is getting to be difficult to try to set those standards, and we sort of rely on what is our standard. Trying to recognize that it is a changing society. You know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, we could exclude anybody who had ever used marijuana. That's just totally impractical today.
How do you deal with that, though? Because you have obviously a very pragmatic approach, but these are the codes not only that you live by, but you're judged professionally. See, I find it refreshing to talk about this, and yet today we see society changing around us.
Yeah, we still stand by. So 3 years on marijuana use, and then, of course, we look at beyond that. What age were you? And, of course, it's very common that college age is going to experiment with marijuana much more than if you were in your 40s or 50s. And what was the frequency? You know, was it just experimentation when you were in college 5 years ago? Or was it much more common? And we're, you know, what's the bottom line we want? We want somebody with integrity, and people do make mistakes. People do go through those years where they're going to try something. But we want the absolute best Ada County Sheriff's deputy that we can have today. And so we're looking for judgment as much as anything. You know, we understand that people did things. People might have stolen something when they were young. What's your integrity today? And past is the best prediction of the future as far as behavior, but it's a tough balance. But we sort of stick by our guidelines, and it is difficult right now just trying to recruit people. We're not getting the number of applications that we used to get. And, you know, prior to the economic downturn, we get a lot of applications. And then during the economic downturn, hardly anybody was leaving. So it was really easy to fill positions because our attrition rate was so low. Now that the economy is starting to pick back up, we have sort of a normal, probably still lower than normal attrition rate, but we want a big pool of applicants so we can narrow down to that absolute best person. And it's hard. And you're talking to Chief Masterson with Boise Police. They're hiring a number of Boise police officers facing the very same thing. Just talking to Idaho State Police about them hiring troopers, the very same thing. So, you know, we're trying to look at how do we attract people to this great career in law enforcement that is, for the right person, so rewarding. I've been here over 30 years. I love my job. I look forward to going to work every day. I've had such wonderful experiences. And I've got a lot of friends who drive downtown every morning just despising their job.
Ada County Sheriff Gary Rainey with us, 580KIDO. Sheriff Rainey, let's take a look at our area right now. We live in an area that's blessed through the interaction between all the law enforcement agencies. What's the spirit of cooperation like, and what's it like being on the front lines every day of keeping the Treasure Valley safe?
You know, it's good, and exactly what you say, that cooperation is so important. I can remember 20 years ago when agencies didn't get along and agency administrators didn't get along, and it's changed so much. You know, the Boise and Guard City and Meridian Chief and I, as well as the Colonel of the State Police, we get together every month. Both to, you know, deal with the business, but also you got to have those relationships. And good things happen because when something starts to happen that may be questionable, you pick up the phone to somebody that you know and a friend. Now, across all law enforcement, that's good. And I just hosted a seminar that brought in people from the Malheur County Sheriff and the Ontario Chief of Police over to Mountain Home and up through Boise County and all of the agency heads coming together to just talk about we need to all be working together. This is one community with some invisible borders of city limits and county lines in there, but it's one community, and we are fortunate that we're sharing resources, we're helping each other. There really isn't any turf battles here, and that's so important to the community because you don't care when you call 911. You don't care what the patch says. You don't care what the badge says. You don't care what the car says. We need to be doing that, and in fact, I believe that in Ada County, we would be a lot smarter, and I'm not the only one. The chiefs pretty much agree with me. That we would be so much better off if we only had one law enforcement agency. And I'm not saying that the sheriff runs that law enforcement agency. That's a decision to be made by the people. We would be so much more efficient in not duplicating hiring processes and training processes and special teams and all of the purchasing that we do. I think we could save the taxpayers about $20
million. $20 million, wow.
Yeah.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ada KIDO, Sheriff Rainey with us, Ada County Sheriff, as we move along. Sheriff Rainey, we've got some quick hits here for you at 580 KIDO. There was a story by our great friends at Channel 7 this week about texting 911. Now, you and I come from the days of the rotary phone, of the black and white TV and everything else. I still, and I reluctantly, I'm getting into the texting world, but that's like the number one form where people, you know, communicate now is via text. So texting 911.
Absolutely. In public safety, we got to look at who is going to be our users, our constituents in the future. And, you know, the generation of teenagers who could just as easily need to contact 911 as you and I are used to that form of communication. So right now, you can't text 911. You can't. If you captured a photograph or a video of a bank robber walking out the door, there's no way in the system for you to get that to us and get that up to the patrol deputies who are going to respond to that crime. That's changing. Nationally, the infrastructure is being put in place, but our current communication center doesn't have the ability to deal with that. So the commissioners and I and the other elected officials are working through priorities now because the current center was built in 1977. The power, the fiber, all of that just won't hold up to the future. And right now it's at the critical stage where there are scenarios where we could lose all public safety communications in Ada County. So we're hoping.
Could you repeat that again? There's a situation where that could happen?
There is a scenario. Yeah, absolutely. The power that is coming into the communication center is inadequate, and we can't put more power in there because the infrastructure of the building, because it's a big drain. So right now there is a possibility. It's a very, very slim possibility that public safety 911 could go down in Ada County.
But you've talked about this, the need for this new facility for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I think we're putting together a really good plan. The commissioners are very, very conscious about taxpayer money and looking at what does the county have from some savings and the courthouse bond being paid off, and that's going to free some money. This is something that, you know, 911 can't fail. When you call, you need somebody to answer. And so I think we're going to be able to put together a plan and be able to go down the path of being able to build a new center. And it's, you know, it's going to take about 2.5 years to have that built. So our fingers are crossed in the meantime, but we'll see what happens this budget cycle. But it is critically important. It's the number one need of the sheriff's office.
What about the concealed carry issuing permits? You've had a role in that recently.
Yeah, we've recognized since the, particularly the enhanced concealed carry license statute came out, it's really confusing to us as licensees. The sheriffs are issue the license, and it's really confusing to the instructors and the people getting it. So we've been working to clean that up, and I just hosted about 55 of the 70-some concealed weapons license instructors at the sheriff's office to get some input back from them and say, what do you think it ought to look like? They gave great input. I've been getting together some information from sheriffs, and I think we're going to be able to put it together and have a good system in place. Just one thing, for example, there's no standard instruction out there as to what that should be. The state of Utah has a standardized instruction in the sense of here's the objectives you need to cover for your course. Now, you can cover them with the nuances of your particular class, but we need to do that in Idaho. We need to have some standardized instruction. There's conversations about should there be a proficiency standard. For the enhanced license now, you need to fire 98 rounds, but you can fire them in the air and never hit a thing, and you're still going to get your permit. So the instructors particularly were strong on there needs to be a simple level of proficiency. Anyway, I think we're going to be able to clean it up and get it to the legislature through Senator Marv Hagedorn and be able to do something good with it.
What do you say to people? And again, I'm kind of familiar with this now, getting familiar with it because I moved from Meridian to Star. But, you know, when we think of Ada County, sometimes we think of Boise, Meridian, maybe a few other places. But what do you say to the people that, you know, are... It's funny, not out in the hinterlands, but in those areas that aren't, you know, Boise or Meridian. What do you, I mean, because that's your people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's changed a lot. When I was a patrol deputy 25, almost 30 years ago, you know, there was a lot of agriculture in Ada County, and there is still some, out, but it's more out on the edges, and it's changed a lot. And that's like what I was talking about before. One of the things that in policing we need to look at is getting away from those invisible boundaries of the city limits and lines, and by contracting the police services for Eagle Star and CUNA, we can more effectively do some of that, share resources across those communities. So if you live in Avamore that's outside of a city limit, or if you live in Eagle, you kind of have the same interests. So we need to bring those people together and let them have the different flavors of where they wanted to live, because if you probably live out north of Star with a five-acre parcel, you feel a little bit differently about what you want out of your community than if you live in downtown Boise. So wherever you're at.
It's a different vibe out there.
Absolutely.
It is. It
yeah.
really is.
And so it's respecting that, but it's also getting people, you know, the term for it's social cohesion.
Right.
That we want people to be connected to their neighbors, be connected to the community, to be responsible.
What, you got a doctor in sociology here on the side? You're doing everything else on the side.
It's just, it's basic policing 101.
Sort of, I see.
About what really causes crime and what really stops crime.
And finally, an issue that was brought up on this program, and, you know, being the sniffling media worms that we are here, we were, happy to be a part of this, the Sheriff Rainey, Mark Patterson situation. Where are we at there?
Well, you know, it's as I've always said, in anything, the sheriff's office only complied with the law. We did our due process. We did nothing wrong. And at the end of the day, that'll be proven. And Mr. Patterson made a lot of statements and a lot of threats, and I think came on your show and made statements like the spotlight's going to be shown on Sheriff Rainey.
Well, we could find that for you.
So just watching, you know, from my standpoint, does he really think he's got a cause? Well, the April 31st, his deadline to actually do anything passed, and nothing happened, and not heard from him. And, you know, he's got to go live his own life, and he's got to live with the decisions he made and all that. But, you know, it's a part of coming into this election, and people say, you know, why aren't there more people running for office?
I know what you're going to say. Yep.
And you know, it's absolutely part of running for office. It's part of being elected. You get to be a target of anybody who wants to make a target out of you. And one of the worst things you can do is argue and defend yourself rather than just stand by your integrity. But it does. A lot of people recognize that those sorts of false accusations and claims and everything that gets in the media. Because every time there's a story, you know, there's just a few more people that wonder, is something really there? And it does make it tough when you stand by your integrity.
But Sheriff Rainey, here's another one. And maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. I find people today, because of the media saturation, have a lack of critical thinking skills. So they're apt to believe something without questioning it.
Oh, I agree. I agree. The way that we funnel our own information tunnel to just what we already believe, and we, you know, we reinforce what we already believe rather than going out and learning new ideas and being willing to accept different points of view. And one thing that's very important for me is to understand all of the different points of view about criminology and about criminal behavior. And while I may not agree with some of the liberal side of them about what should happen as far as decriminalization of marijuana or something like that, it's important to understand that argument and be able to think about that.
Right. Sheriff Rainey, we always appreciate it. Thank you for your time, sir.
Absolutely. Always happy to be here.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And here we are, Tuesday morning. Boy, the weekend sure flew by. Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett, 580 KIDO. Getting ready for the start of the week. Always good to have these four-day weeks, Dave.
It is. Evan, you're thrown off. You're thinking it's Monday all day, and reality is it's Tuesday.
Already Tuesday, of course. Certainly a lot going on over the weekend. Memorial Day. And one thing that gets me is that people, although very well-meaning, confuse Memorial Day with Veterans Day. And it never used to bother me until I used to hang out with the veterans all the time. And they would just get upset about it, and I kind of share their angst on that.
In what way? I'm kind of curious to see your take on this. In what way do you feel it's confusing?
Well, when people say thank you to our veterans mm-hmm. and all those who served and and celebrate Memorial Day, you know, Memorial Day goes back to the Civil War. It goes back to Confederate Memorial Day. And really, it's a day to honor those people that didn't get to see their kids grow up or didn't get a life. And when you start putting that in perspective, they sacrificed for our very essence that we have today. It seems kind of shallow that people don't understand the significance of this holiday or of the holiday that we just had.
Yeah, it seemed to me, I remembered growing up as well, that Memorial Day was not only for fallen military, but also for just loved ones who had passed on. And it somehow has become a second Veterans Day.
Right. And again, you know, you have people going, oh, isn't this great? These veterans returning home and all this just in time for Memorial Day. And it's like these people probably lost loved ones. And mm-hmm. until you start definitively saying, well, imagine, you know, the last 20 of your years of your life didn't happen or you didn't get a chance to walk down that aisle or go see your kids at a prom or something like that or even go to a prom. It just amazes me that we seem to miss that. It's well-meaning, but it just misses the enormity of the holiday.
Yeah, it somehow kind of morphed a little bit, and I'm not quite sure when that happened.
Morphed with all the sales and all the
well,
everything
there is
else.
That. Yeah, that's I just got a note from somebody. Actually, it was from Ray, from the producer, saying he got a text that said, "Happy Memorial Day, Happy Memorial Day." Yeah, it's a big sale going on. So, yeah, we kind of lose track of all of it. And then you get Memorial Day TV specials. Okay, as they have singers going everywhere. So, yeah, we've kind of lost sight. But it's that way. It's that way with everything.
So you went camping this weekend.
Yes, I did. Went down, actually, to Bruno.
I thought of you this weekend, and I go, what's the appeal of the camping?
I get away from here for 3 days.
I could never get enough of this place. And I don't know what you mean.
That's what makes you and I a little different. Well, I don't totally get away from here. I still had internet and was still working, but for 3 days I'm out. So, and I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning.
So still, what's the appeal? What did you do? You went in the woods and hung out?
No, actually we were at Bruno Sand Dunes, so there's no woods at all involved, but we actually had a chance to go out and do a little fishing with some good success. They got a bass trophy pond down there and had some
good
success.
So that's at Mountain Home?
Yeah, it's near Mountain Home, yeah.
Yeah, I know where that is. I've been there, but...
To Bruno?
Yeah.
Then you know exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't another sand dunes that I didn't know about.
But it's the largest landlocked sand dunes in America or something. Went to the observatory on, was that Friday night? Saturday night, I guess.
Yeah, but before you give us the rundown, I'm still trying to figure out, so you're hanging out with a bunch of sand and you go fishing. Well, why is that relaxing?
And then sit around the fire in the evening, except it was very windy Friday night. But Saturday, Sunday, sat around, enjoyed a fire in the evening, good company, sharing stories. It was a good time.
Sharing stories?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Stories out of the past, learning about other people that you're with.
What do you want to learn about other people for? What do they have to offer?
That's just a silly question.
I'm trying to understand it. It just doesn't seem to have an appeal to me that you go out and you've got the sand, and I don't even know how you get the... Trying to think, how do you get your campers by the sand dunes? I guess there's a road or something. It's been like 4 years since I've been there. Just seemed like a place you'd go to visit and go, oh yeah, hey, this is great. I couldn't see spending a weekend there.
It's not about. I mean, you don't get it. Never mind. You don't get it. You just don't get it.
I don't. I don't see the appeal of being out there with a bunch of sand in a lake with a bunch of fish, and then you got to clean the fish. And did you have to have a permit to cook the fish? Did you cook the fish?
No, I didn't keep them. I let them go.
Wait a minute. So you went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You caught the fish, caused them immense pain, and then you let them go.
It's not immense pain. And then you let them go.
Okay.
You don't keep them.
I guess you had to be there to enjoy that one.
I did. Enjoyed it immensely. It was a good time. You just don't get it, Kevin.
No, I don't.
I don't want to sit on my couch and watch Hardball.
Well, that's what's wrong with the world. They need more people like me watching Hardball, keeping track of everything.
Yeah, thank you for doing that for me, because I had a nice 3 days where I really didn't do a whole lot. I did a little bit on the web, did a few other things, but got a little bit of a break. So that was good.
All right.
Was able to recharge my battery so I could work with you. Now that was funny.
I don't really think that's funny. I never personally attack you.
No. Uh-uh.
But you attack me.
You just called me a goof. Why would I want to go camp?
I didn't say a goof.
Mm-hmm.
543 at 580KIDO, some of the top stories today. Of course, this tragedy that we've been covering all weekend started Saturday morning. We were talking about this on the Saturday show, where you have this young man who, a very disturbed young man out of California that went on a shooting rampage and had these manifestos on YouTube. His therapist tried to warn his mother. She saw it, and it was too late. And they're crediting a locked door at the sorority house for actually saving a lot more of these young women that this idiot tried to kill. And, you know, this Elliot Rogers, you take a look at this guy, his YouTube videos are very disturbing. And the question that I have for a lot of people are, you know, do we really need to see the videos? And they were playing them ad nauseum on Fox News Radio Saturday, and everybody was watching these things where this 22-year-old was, you know, obsessed with getting back at people that he felt harmed him.
Yeah, it always bothers me. That was something when I came back yesterday afternoon that, you know, they were playing the videos over and over again. It was like, okay, and then you're going to get a copycat and go, why did we get a copycat? Well, you inspired it. I don't understand why they do that.
Well, and then it really goes to show you that could this have been prevented, this disturbed person? And here's something that I don't understand, and you're kind of, we'll just say, a little bit more mellow than I am, so we'll look at your perspective on this. I was looking at Facebook, and then one of the reporters that I disagree with started saying, moms, this is a warning to make sure that your boys are not misogynist, and misogyny kills. And I'm going, huh? And, you know, you need to teach them to respect women. And I'm going, what? We've already effeminized every male. Heck, half of them are women anyway, the way things are going. And to start lecturing people, and granted, Facebook is the place for the shallow masses, and I'm falling into this. However, I'm sitting here looking at this and going, that's about the dumbest statement I've read. And considering, you know, this person's work, I'm not surprised, but Your reaction to that statement?
I tend to agree with one thing, and that is boys do need to be taught to respect girls for being women. But I think it's really, to me, it's really the father's responsibility that they make sure that they teach their sons to respect women and to respect them as women. I think we miss that at times.
I don't think we miss it at all.
Of course you don't. You don't have kids. We miss it, Kevin.
No, we don't. And I'll tell you why, if you'd let me.
Sure. Well, don't ask me my opinion if you don't want it.
Well, no, you smacked me before I could give it. Here's the situation. Look who's running the world now. It's women. Look who you go anywhere, and it's you go to people restaurants or what have you, TV. It's all women. Women have taken over. Men have become passive. And because you have some kook do something horrific does not mean there's an indictment on men to make them less manly. And that's why I created this segment where men can be men. There are no manly man segments anymore. That left with Charlie Sheen and Two and a Half Men. Men are wimps. Men are this, with the exception of a very select elite few. You take a look at you go into a restaurant today. Half the time, you're going to be met by an effeminate male. How can you tell me that he doesn't respect women? You take a look at some of the rap lyrics. Yeah, you have a point there. But to sit there and say that men should respect women, I think the other way around, men should get some respect. I don't think that men are respected anymore. They're laughed at. Thank you, Ray Romano.
Is it my turn yet?
No, come on.
Are you
going
to cut me out?
No,
I'm just telling you.
Come on, let's go.
What we are missing in this world at this point, that men are not teaching their sons, their boys, how to treat and respect women. I'm telling you, I see a disrespect on a regular basis, and men are not taking responsibility in doing it. You watch TV shows, it does not show men, and it is a manly thing to do. It is a manly thing for a man to teach his son how to respect and honor women, and it's not being done.
Right, but back to the point here, to sit there and say, men are misogynists or whatever, moms teach your kids, it totally misses the point. You know, what do we see on TV? We see women beating up men as if that could happen. And you and I have talked about this before, and I'm very concerned about the increase in domestic violence. And we deal a lot with this with Sheriff Donahue. Domestic violence where women and men start going at it, and you see these women beating up men. Do you think that gives them the wrong idea? That, and then you have Ronda Rousey trying to get in their face of men antagonizing. Does that make it right? No, of course not. But when someone starts beating you up and you respond, again, it aggravates the situation of domestic violence. And I think that sends a wrong message. What this guy did was wrong. But I think we as a society have to be at a comfortable level where a man should be able to open up a door for a woman, and she should appreciate that.
I just tend to, I'm not quite sure why you're not seeing what I'm saying.
Because I totally disagree with you. I totally disagree with you.
Then whose job is it to teach young boys to respect women?
No. It has nothing to do with that. I think that, again, society has flipped roles, and the women lead now, not the men. I see it in our workplace. Oh, you better dare not disagree with anybody because you're a bad person. Well, what if they're wrong? You're still a bad person. We have defanged men in our society today. We have they're passive, they're wussies, they're wimps. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it's become. And you have this kid, he had a mom and a dad. Where was his dad? Well, he was making movies. He has no excuses. There are a lot of children that grow up without fathers. I feel for them. It's horrific. They look at Kevin Durant and what his mom did with him. What a great story. But to sit back and say it's the job of men have abdicated it. So, that's just how if I had a son today, I wouldn't know how to. I'd move to Wyoming. I'd move to a place where a man could be a man. And it's disappearing in America today. It truly is.
And that's what I'm saying. Men need to take responsibility and teach their sons how to treat women.
You are missing the point. Do you know
the relationship between this boy his dad?
Yeah, I do.
You
because
do.
Because I wasn't camping this weekend. I've researched the story. So, but that's the point is where you have someone get on Facebook and make dumb comments about misogynistic men. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this story is only 24 hours old. That's a heck of a statement to make. That's a heck of an indictment to make against men. And I have an issue with that. That's what I'm saying.
I have no opinion because I was camping. That's what you just said.
You asked me, do I know this? And I said, yes, because I stayed here. I studied the story. I've looked at it. And you, because you're asking me questions. Well, yeah, I have the high ground on this one.
So you know the relationship between the dad and the son.
Look,
you
here
know
it
what
is.
This you know what the dad has said to the son, raising him up.
No. You see, you're clouding the issue. The issue goes back to the statements on Facebook, and I'm not going to allow you to do this. The issue goes back to whether or not this has anything to do with how we raise men today. And to sit there and say that men are misogynistic and this is what happens, you can be disrespectful. It doesn't mean you're going to turn into a kook that kills people.
But I do need to do this. I got to do this. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
557, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Now we go back to this issue of who is responsible for the shooting at the University of California. Let's take a listen to the father.
When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this. Too many have died. We should say to ourselves, not one more.
There we have it. That's the father of the shooting victim.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
All right. So do you blame the guns? Do you blame the kook? Or do you blame something else? We'll talk about that coming up here at 580KIDO. And, you know, Sheriff Rainey and I talked about this. What do you do when you have somebody who is mentally disturbed? And that's what this young man, this 22-year-old Elliot Roger, who pounded on the sorority house door while inside the young women were preparing for another Friday night. Thankfully, the locks held, and he decided not to shoot. Apparently, this suspect was obsessed with exacting retribution for what he experienced as a lifetime of a social and sexual isolation and planned to meticulously target as many people as possible. Again, he denied access to those he felt should worship him, from one of the published reports here. But much more on this at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller here with you. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, the comments of the father of one of the shooting victims. Do we need more gun control? He's tired of this happening. Does that mean, I'm going to answer this question already. Limiting your right to keep and bear arms and protect yourself, how does that stop the wackos from getting the guns, doing these terrific, these horrific, horrible deeds? A tough, bitter pill to swallow. We'll talk about it next.
Serving Meridian.